Budapest University of Technology and Economics Language Examination Center. This recording is copyright. Advanced Level Examination. Listening, Part 1. You will hear a text. Read the candidate's copy beforehand. You will have 1 minute for that. Then listen to the text and make notes in English. You will hear the text twice. After the first listening, you will have 2 minutes to write your answers. After the second listening, you will have 2 minutes to finalize them. Copy your answers in English onto the answer sheet. Now you'll have 1 minute to read the prompts. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully.
Representatives from more than 120 countries will meet in South Africa next week in an effort to end the use of some of the most toxic chemicals known to humanity. The chemicals are used in such things as weed killers and coolants. Some have been linked to cancer, brain disorders, and growth abnormalities in animals. Well, Baffin Island in the Canadian Arctic has some of the highest concentrations of these pollutants in the world.
Mika Mike is going on a seal hunt. She's making this trip not for sport or for profit, but out of necessity. Food and supplies shipped in from the south are expensive, and Mika has a family and sled dogs to feed. This still looks like a pristine environment, but wind and ocean currents bring chemical pollution from thousands of miles away. The low evaporation rate traps the toxins in the Arctic, and they're building up in its people and animals. She missed, but Mika will look for more. The technology may have changed, but the Inuit are living much the same kind of life that they've always lived. The seal remains an essential part of the culture, providing clothing, equipment, and especially food. The problem is the pollution caused by the rest of the world, which is threatening to undermine this lifestyle forever. The seal, caribou, and whale meat here is poisoned. The toxins concentrate in animal fat, often far exceeding safety guidelines. No one really knows what the long-term dangers are, but the Inuit have always eaten frozen raw meat. They say they need it to keep warm. Inuit babies like Simon here have around 5 times more toxins in their blood than those in southern Canada. The chemicals are passed on in breast milk. Studies suggest they can affect the immune system, IQ, and fertility. For now, though, hospitals still recommend breastfeeding while warning of the possible dangers.
Breastfeeding's very important for me. I'm all for breastfeeding.
To most people, this is a bleak and inhospitable landscape. The Inuit have survived here for thousands of years by making use of the local animals. But unless the threat from pollution is tackled effectively, this way of life may have to change.
We are 150,000 Inuit in the entire world, and oftentimes we ourselves feel like an endangered species, and indeed can be an endangered species ourselves. And we have to really think in those terms that this is a peoples that we are talking about, and a whole way of life.
It will take generations to remove the toxins from this environment, but the people here hope the treaty being finalised will help safeguard their future. Richard Lister, BBC News, Baffin Island.
Now listen again.
Representatives from more than 120 countries will meet in South Africa next week in an effort to end the use of some of the most toxic chemicals known to humanity. The chemicals are used in such things as weed killers and coolants. Some have been linked to cancer, brain disorders, and growth abnormalities in animals. Well, Baffin Island in the Canadian Arctic has some of the highest concentrations of these pollutants in the world.
Mika Mike is going on a seal hunt. She's making this trip not for sport or for profit, but out of necessity. Food and supplies shipped in from the south are expensive, and Mika has a family and sled dogs to feed. This still looks like a pristine environment, but wind and ocean currents bring chemical pollution from thousands of miles away. The low evaporation rate traps the toxins in the Arctic, and they're building up in its people and animals. She missed, but Mika will look for more. The technology may have changed, but the Inuit are living much the same kind of life that they've always lived. The seal remains an essential part of the culture, providing clothing, equipment, and especially food. The problem is the pollution caused by the rest of the world, which is threatening to undermine this lifestyle forever. The seal, caribou, and whale meat here is poisoned. The toxins concentrate in animal fat, often far exceeding safety guidelines. No one really knows what the long-term dangers are, but the Inuit have always eaten frozen raw meat. They say they need it to keep warm. Inuit babies like Simon here have around 5 times more toxins in their blood than those in southern Canada. The chemicals are passed on in breast milk. Studies suggest they can affect the immune system, IQ, and fertility. For now, though, hospitals still recommend breastfeeding while warning of the possible dangers.
Breastfeeding's very important for me. Like, I'm all for breastfeeding.
To most people, this is a bleak and inhospitable landscape. The Inuit have survived here for thousands of years by making use of the local animals. But unless the threat from pollution is tackled effectively, this way of life may have to change.
We are 150,000 Inuit in the entire world, and oftentimes we ourselves feel like an endangered species, and indeed can be an endangered species ourselves. And we have to really think in those terms that this is a peoples that we are talking about, and a whole way of life.
It will take generations to remove the toxins from this environment, but the people here hope the treaty being finalised will help safeguard their future. Richard Lister, BBC News, Baffin Island.
Now you can copy your answers onto the answer sheet. This is the end of part 1. Listening, Part 2. You will hear a text. Read the candidate's copy beforehand. You will have 2 minutes for that. Then listen to the text and choose the correct answer. You will hear the text twice. After the first listening, you will have 2 minutes to choose the correct answer. And after the second listening, you will have 1 minute to finalize your answers. Copy your answers onto the answer sheet. Now you'll have 2 minutes to read the prompts. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully.
Lessons from Extraordinary Women. As producer, writer, editor of the documentary series Second Chance, Make It Work, I've had the privilege of telling the stories of 65 extraordinary women over the past 3 years. Second Chance has as its mandate, a mission to explore the lives of everyday women who have overcome some kind of obstacle and then used the wisdom they have gained to create something new in their lives. These inspiring women have developed their unique and often adverse life experiences into skills which they now use in their work lives. Some people achieve mastery over challenges posed by physical disability, then share their skills with others. Lorraine Siao lost the majority of her hearing after a bout with mumps at age 12. Nevertheless, with her parents' support, she persevered through high school and university and became a pharmacist in her native Malaysia. Today, she has found work that is more suited to her skills. With her profound understanding of the learning difficulties of the deaf, she enrolled in a deaf education program at York University and is now a high school teacher for deaf teens. For many people, making the best of a situation that is in many ways debilitating can be the catalyst of re-education and a new career direction. Jennifer Mason, an aspiring opera singer, became debilitated with rheumatoid arthritis before she could get her career started. Always creative, Jennifer looked for other ways to express herself. She recorded an album, Mothers of the World, and today is a portrait artist. Jennifer is also a poster girl and spokesperson for AARC, the Arthritis and Autoimmunity Research Centre, in Toronto. Sometimes overcoming the many obstacles of immigrating to a new country can provide the necessary skills needed to start a new venture. During her teen years, Mina Jafari Rowe studied cosmetology in the United States. But then, when Iran was plunged into revolution, Mina found these skills were no longer valued. When her husband was incarcerated for liberal ideas, Mina was forced to flee the country with four small children. As a refugee in Turkey, Mina soon discovered entrepreneurial ways of providing for her children. After 10 years in Turkey, Mina finally relocated her family to Canada. Here, Mina combined her earlier passion for cosmetology with her more recently developed business skills. She started a beauty salon, which soon became a small spa empire. Many adults learn where their career interests lie when they are well past the standard formal time for career training. Meredith Seafield Grant suffered from anorexia and bulimia throughout her 20s and early 30s, where many people are focused on developing their career skills. Once she overcame her eating disorder, however, Meredith was able to use her experience to expand her career and to help others. Today, Meredith conducts educational workshops on eating disorders and is on the board of directors of Sheena's Place, a support centre for people with eating disorders in downtown Toronto. She has also written a book about those experiences, Road to the Rainbow. Many great non-profit organisations are filled with people who are passionate about the service they offer. That's because many of the staff members were formerly the recipients of the services they now provide. Diana Capone, along with her mother and siblings, suffered tremendous abuse from her father throughout her childhood. After numerous trips to psychiatric wards and overcoming drug addiction, Diana was motivated to change after becoming a mum. She put herself through college and then began working for a transition centre called Nellie's. Next, Diana became the executive director of the Ontario Council of Alternative Businesses, an organisation which exclusively hires psychiatric survivors and helps them build their own businesses. Currently, Diana is the Client Employment Coordinator at the Centre for Addiction and Mental Health, where she works to break down barriers between employees and those who use their services. Opportunities for growth and change are often even more difficult for women, as they are usually the primary caregivers for their children. But sometimes, the desire to make a better life for their child is in itself enough impetus to make changes. When Suzanne Dimmer's daughter became the victim of childhood sexual abuse, Suzanne was galvanised to see justice done. After pursuing a conviction for the offender, Suzanne realised her passion was in pursuing victims' rights. With small children at home, Suzanne went back to school in order to gain the necessary skills to develop her career. Today, Suzanne is employed by MADD, where she continues to fight for the rights of victims of crime. Adult education includes all the experiences that we have during the course of our lives and what we have learnt from them. Everyday life experiences enrich our lives, building in us skills that we can and do use in the future.
Now listen again.
Lessons from Extraordinary Women. As producer, writer, editor of the documentary series Second Chance, Make It Work, I've had the privilege of telling the stories of 65 extraordinary women over the past 3 years. Second Chance has, as its mandate, a mission to explore the lives of everyday women who have overcome some kind of obstacle and then used the wisdom they have gained to create something new in their lives. These inspiring women have developed their unique and often adverse life experiences into skills which they now use in their work lives. Some people achieve mastery over challenges posed by physical disability, then share their skills with others. Lorraine Ciel lost the majority of her hearing after a bout with mumps at age 12. Nevertheless, with her parents' support, she persevered through high school and university and became a pharmacist in her native Malaysia. Today, she has found work that is more suited to her skills. With her profound understanding of the learning difficulties of the deaf, she enrolled in a deaf education program at York University and is now a high school teacher for deaf teens. For many people, making the best of a situation that is in many ways debilitating can be the catalyst of re-education and a new career direction. Jennifer Mason, an aspiring opera singer, became debilitated with rheumatoid arthritis before she could get her career started. Always creative, Jennifer looked for other ways to express herself. She recorded an album, Mothers of the World, and today is a portrait artist. Jennifer is also a poster girl and spokesperson for AARC, the Arthritis and Autoimmunity Research Centre, in Toronto. Sometimes overcoming the many obstacles of immigrating to a new country can provide the necessary skills needed to start a new venture. During her teen years, Mina Jafari Rowe studied cosmetology in the United States. But then, when Iran was plunged into revolution, Mina found these skills were no longer valued. When her husband was incarcerated for liberal ideas, Mina was forced to flee the country with 4 small children. As a refugee in Turkey, Mina soon discovered entrepreneurial ways of providing for her children. After 10 years in Turkey, Mina finally relocated her family to Canada. Here, Mina combined her earlier passion for cosmetology with her more recently developed business skills. She started a beauty salon, which soon became a small spa empire. Many adults learn where their career interests lie when they are well past the standard formal time for career training. Meredith Seafield Grant suffered from anorexia and bulimia throughout her 20s and early 30s, where many people are focused on developing their career skills. Once she overcame her eating disorder, however, Meredith was able to use her experience to expand her career and to help others. Today, Meredith conducts educational workshops on eating disorders and is on the board of directors of Sheena's Place, a support centre for people with eating disorders in downtown Toronto. She has also written a book about those experiences, Road to the Rainbow. Many great non-profit organisations are filled with people who are passionate about the service they offer. That's because many of the staff members were formerly the recipients of the services they now provide. Diana Capone, along with her mother and siblings, suffered tremendous abuse from her father throughout her childhood. After numerous trips to psychiatric wards and overcoming drug addiction, Diana was motivated to change after becoming a mum. She put herself through college and then began working for a transition centre called Nellie's. Next, Diana became the executive director of the Ontario Council of Alternative Businesses, an organisation which exclusively hires psychiatric survivors and helps them build their own businesses. Currently, Diana is the Client Employment Coordinator at the Centre for Addiction and Mental Health, where she works to break down barriers between employees and those who use their services. Opportunities for growth and change are often even more difficult for women, as they are usually the primary caregivers for their children. But sometimes, the desire to make a better life for their child is in itself enough impetus to make changes. When Suzanne Dimmer's daughter became the victim of childhood sexual abuse, Suzanne was galvanised to see justice done. After pursuing a conviction for the offender, Suzanne realised her passion was in pursuing victims' rights. With small children at home, Suzanne went back to school in order to gain the necessary skills to develop her career. Today, Suzanne is employed by MADD, where she continues to fight for the rights of victims of crime. Adult education includes all the experiences that we have during the course of our lives and what we have learnt from them. Everyday life experiences enrich our lives, building in us skills that we can and do use in the future.
Now you can copy your answers onto the answer sheet. This is the end of the test.